Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
You are listening live to the program brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson. Campers, Sea-Doos, boats, trailers, you name it. Bring it to Worth and trade for your new or used Harley-Davidson. Worth Harley-Davidson, I-29 just south of the airport or online at WorthHarley-Davidson.com. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Herbert quickly tosses it to Keenan Allen on the right side and outside the numbers. Allen, he fumbled the football inside the 35-yard line of the Chiefs recover, but was he down? The officials are signaling Chiefs football. One receiver to the left. Mahomes drops back to pass. Pressure's coming. Dumps it off to McKinnon in the backfield. Runs into his own man. He fumbled the football. It's loose on the field, and it's recovered by the Chargers. Herbert drops back to pass. Throws toward the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Palmer. He threw it to the left, and Palmer was wide open. It's a 6-yard touchdown pass, and the Chargers take the lead. 1:46 to play. Mahomes takes the low snap, drops back to pass, throws to his left. He has Kelce inside the 10, the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown, Kelce. And the Chiefs retake the lead.
Herbert escaping in trouble, puts it up for grabs for Allen. It's almost intercepted. It is on the deflection. Brought in by Nick Bolton.
And now, a man who missed last night's game because he spent the entire evening rewatching Bedlam, Todd Lebo.
Wrong you are, Kay. First 15 minutes of that might be worth rewatching. The rest of it, unwatchable on all sides. I was just talking to Mick. Gosh, what an ugly game that was. Anyway, my name is Todd Lebo.
You end with the word win.
I'm in for Seren Petro, and I was watching the Chiefs game.
Yeah.
Take it from me. That was much better than any rewatch of a Bedlam game from this year, at least, for sure. Because that's what we want. That's what the NFL is supposed to be. That's why NBC said, you know what? We don't want this Bengals-Steelers game. Can you give me Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah.
Against anyone, and especially against the Chargers on the road. Because we know it'll be thrilling. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it is literally against anyone. I mean, Mahomes is now at the level where it doesn't matter the opponent. If you can get him TV, you win.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And they got what they bargained for last night. They got a really good game, and it was exciting on all fronts from beginning to end, really. Yeah. I mean, it was there was not a part where, this isn't worth watching. That was high-level stuff. And listen, we make fun of the Chargers because the Chargers don't beat the Chiefs in California. They've won here a couple of times, and they get picked 40 – let's say over half the time, probably in the last 10 years, they've been picked to win the division. It just happens over and over, and they just don't. And people want them to be better than they are, but they're just not quite there. They just can't quite win these games, and the Chiefs do win these games. The 14 in a row now of division road games.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes
14 and 0.
That's incredible. That's absolutely
incredible. It's just, it's some of the stats that you can put out there of what he has done is they're almost absurd. I mean, you look at him, you're like, that doesn't even make any sense. But it does, because he is a unique entity. I mean, there was only one of him in the box, as they say. And thankfully for Chiefs fans, he plays here.
Yeah, it's incredible stuff. And What we have been watching, what we were watching, honestly, with Travis Kelce, with Alex Smith, was better than almost every tight end you've seen, because he's a great player. Mm-hmm. But the amount of time he's had now with Patrick Mahomes and how they kind of have their mind meld or whatever it is, it's incredible. And we're seeing, and I don't care if someone is the greatest of all time or the best tight end ever or whatever, I'll just say this, one of the best tight ends of all times in the history of everything, paired with one of the best quarterbacks that we've seen in our lifetimes, and I think he's going to end up going down as one of the greatest of all time, however you measure it, whatever. Combined with a play caller and a coach who is an offensive coach who loves what they do together.
Endlessly creative.
It's perfect.
Yeah, and it isn't just mind meld thing with Mahomes and Kelce. They truly see the field in the exact same way. Someone say, well, what's the difference? Well, you know, it's I don't think they're necessarily connected. I think when they look at the defense, they see the exact same thing.
Yeah, and there have been a couple missteps. Like part. They had a and Travis didn't get his head turned last night. Got right. hit with a ball.
Because he, but it's because he has to stay in and chip.
He's doing his work.
And, you know,
those things are super rare.
Yes.
They're almost always on the same page, and especially at crunch time. And that's one of the things that Patrick Mahomes was talked about last night after the game. You know, when it came right down to it, they had a minute 46, had a couple of timeouts. We all kind of knew what was going to happen. And that final drive was vintage Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
Coach Reed prepares us for these moments. We knew we had a lot of time on the clock. We knew we had some timeouts, so we didn't rush. We just kind of went through what we do every single day of practice and everything like that. We executed. And I thought, obviously Travis – it's Travis. He makes his greatest tight end of all time. He makes plays like that that win games. I thought a lot of young guys stepped up, and some guys that did not necessarily have those major roles stepped up on that drive as well. And so it's good to see with all those young guys out there.
We'll talk more about Travis Kelce when Sam McDowell is on the show at 3 o'clock, because he was on the Zoom today asking questions about that play and just kind of how they've gone about it. And it's just incredible. And you run out of words for how good they've been, especially when they're playing the Chargers. So we'll talk much more about Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes and the way they get after it when we talk to Sam at 3 o'clock. That'll be a lot of fun. But you also heard Patrick mention other guys stepping up, because I think one of the most important things about getting this win was this was not some easy thing. I think we all just say, okay, whatever, Juju's not there, that'll be fine. McColl's on IR. Okay, Kadarius Toney's here now. There's nothing to worry about. You know how fast Kadarius Toney's gotten into the offense? It's been so great. Well, then he got hurt last night during the game. And now you're like, okay, are we really getting down to Cornell Powell time? He got to dress for the first time in his
right,
career, you know?
Right.
Sky Moore has done precious little as an offensive player so far. He made some big catches for him. Big catches.
Yes.
Not hard
one
catches.
On that drive.
Yes, on the final drive. Really good stuff. And then, Juan Thornhill got hurt during the game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, for as much as we talk about him losing his role, you'd like to have him in the rotation to go out there and spell somebody. He was unavailable. When you lose guys during a game, you can't just say, oh, we'll just dress this guy. You've already set the roster. You're in to go. You know what I mean? So it is like you don't have a choice here. You have got to play with the guys who are dressed and ready to go.
Right.
And they had to do that last night. And getting that part done was incredible for me. And one of the things I asked Coach Reed today about on the Zoom is because we've seen this happen so far. But when you have to get someone ready, like they got Kadarius Toney ready
mm-hmm.
quickly. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was a pretty quick thing.
Yep.
You get that guy ready to go in an off week at the trade deadline, and they got him going. That's great. Well, then he's hurt. Okay, well, now, oh, Sky, you need to go do this, and you need to run this play. And that has to happen during the game. And one of the things that I think is interesting and the thing that I think is an important thing about this team is they have found a way to be prepared, whether it was Joshua Williams playing, you know, Jalen Watson, when Trent McDuffie went down, you know, he had the 99-yard
yep.
intercept return. Whoever has stepped up, they had to cut him, but Matthew Amendola made a couple of kicks. And Matthew Wright made a Chiefs record long field goal. And he'd been on the team for 3 days.
In an important game.
They lost, but they have been able to somehow get people to step up and do the things that matter and count, and I think there's a lot to it, and that's why I asked Coach Reed about it today with guys stepping up.
Yeah, so I would tell you, Todd, that it's good coaching. I think the coaches do a nice job. They're patient with the guys, and they're teachers. But I would also tell you that their peers, especially the veteran players, try to help the guys right when they come in. So we don't just say you're a rookie, you go over here, or you're trying to get our job, go over here. The players, you know, I give them a lot of credit for helping teach these guys. And they don't have to do that, but they've been very willing. I go back to just Alex Smith and how he handled Pat. And Alex was kind of one of our first guys here. So everybody saw how he did it and just kind of followed right along.
You know, I told this story last week about Clyde Edwards-Helaire on the sideline after Isaiah Pacheco fumbled the ball away in the game against the Jags, right? That was the Jags game.
It's last week.
Clyde has got his hands on his shoulders, looking him eye to eye, like, come on, man, you've got this thing. He had basically taken Clyde's job, and Clyde is telling him, you know, what to do. Alex Smith knew that Patrick Mahomes was here to have his job, and he did the thing that you would hope all teammates can do. He's a pretty comfortable guy. He'd already made $100 million, right? You know, it's a little different situation for him, but still, that is the kind of guy you want on the team. I remember watching the warm-ups, and when Matthew Wright was the kicker the day he kicked the 59-yarder. Before the game, he had not kicked in that stadium yet. During a game, and Harrison Butker was out there talking to him. And I don't think Harrison Butker thought he was going to lose his job.
Right.
But still, he wants them to win games. They just have that running through the entire thing. And I don't think you just do that.
No. Another example was something Reed talked about today. Anthony Hitchens working with Nick Bolton the last couple of years. And how good a player he is. He made a guy who he knew was going to eventually push him out of a
Anthony
job.
Anthony Hitchens knew, I'm making a lot of money. Yes. They just drafted this guy in the second round. I'm not going to be here.
And his experience and his advice certainly was invaluable to a young player like Bolton. And, I mean, so often we hear about organizational culture. We've heard about the Patriot way and things like that. And from a distance, you just kind of like, oh, yeah, whatever. It's just a bumper sticker phrase. It really doesn't really have that much meaning. It's just Belichick and Brady. But we see it up close now. It isn't just Reed and Mahomes. It isn't just Reed and Mahomes and Kelsey, whoever you want to play. But there truly is that culture in that organization. And when you go in there, and one, they get the people who are probably much more willing to absorb that and pass it on. So part of it is Brett Veach and finding the right types of players. There also is part of that when you walk into that locker room, you realize the importance of being in that locker room. And that I think that just permeates all the way through, and all the players are kind of touched by it in some way. And they know they have a job to do. Part of that job is to play as well as you can, but part of that job is to also help everyone else who's around you. And that truly does exist in that locker room, unlike it is in almost any other locker room in the league right now.
I think a thing that's kind of cool in my mind about it is if they didn't do that, if their mindset was, well, I don't want to help this guy take my job, I'm not sure any of us, at least, well, I can only speak for me, I'm not sure I'd blame them. So it isn't, you know... It isn't one of those things where you could say, well, yeah, of course you're doing it. It's your job. But I can't say I would blame them if they said, I'm not going to go out of my way to help a guy, you know, beat me off of the starting, you know,
we've heard quarterbacks say, it's not my job.
Absolutely,
stop,
yeah. Joe Flacco was out in Denver when Drew Lock got drafted,
yeah.
Right? You've seen that. And I think it's I think it's the exception rather than the norm to be the way the Chiefs are.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I think it's really the exception to do it with multiple examples of how they've done this,
yeah.
And how they've gone about it, and how they pick each other up, and how they were able to turn this roster over,
yes,
in relatively quick fashion because they knew they had a bunch of expensive guys, and they had a bunch of draft picks, and they acquired more draft picks when they got rid of Tyreek Hill. And they're not all A-plus draft picks, whatever, but they seem to be producing and being a good part of what this team is. They've done a really nice job with it because, as you know, Seren talks about this a lot with the salary cap and everything, you can't have everyone make a ton of money. You have to have the quarterback and the, you know, a game record on defense or whatever, but you can't have everybody at the top of their salary because it doesn't work that way in football. You need to have all these guys. Mm-hmm. And Patrick Mahomes is not cheap anymore. He's relatively cheap compared to, I don't know, Russell Wilson this year or something like that.
Value-wise.
But it you have to be able to keep the team going. You will look, you go back and watch the Patriots, Tom Brady threw passes to how many different people in Super
guys.
Bowls? You know,
yeah.
It didn't matter. It was sometimes Randy Moss was on the team. Sometimes it was someone you don't remember, and he was catching passes.
It was Deion Branch.
It was whatever. And that is what's going to happen with the Chiefs. The Chiefs are – they've already said goodbye to Tyreek Hill. There's going to be someone else who's going to be a player on this team, and they'll just go, and they'll go, and they'll go. But the defensive side is where lots of Chiefs fans wanted Tyrann Mathieu back. He was going to be too expensive. They got Justin Reed, who was a little bit younger for about that price or less than maybe Tyrann initially wanted. And now they've got super cheap Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson and relatively cheap Trent McDuffie as a first-round pick.
Nick Bolton
and Willie Gay. These are second-round guys, and it's the way you want to be. Now, eventually, in about 3 years, they're not all going to be here either. Because you can't run it back all the time.
But the good news is that they've kind of got, I guess you'd call it like a centrifugal force thing going, where the success breeds the culture, and the culture then breeds the success. And now it's in a circle, and it's kind of self-sustaining. And once you get that going, it lasts for a while. I mean, it's...
We talk about the coach is as important. It's not as important as the quarterback, but the coach is something, right?
Sure.
And so far, this coach has been in town for 10 years, and he's had two quarterbacks. And one of them was a fine NFL quarterback who was going to do the right thing and be a good player.
Competent veteran NFL quarterback.
Way better than what they had for the 5 years before, the stretch of that. And now he's got a unicorn, you know, who... they didn't have to have the overall number one pick to get. They got him at 10. It's amazing. So you have that to start with, and the rest of the stuff just kind of works around. You put these guys with Travis Kelce, who, whatever, greatest, one of the greatest somethings of all time, and in the hands of a coach who knows how to use that, and you just keep rolling everything else through, and it's good news. And you look at every other team in this division, what the last 10 years has been like for them. Some of them have had multiple ownership groups. Two of them have been in multiple cities, and they've all had a string of quarterbacks. Even that, you know, Derek Carr's been there for a while, but count the coaches that he's been with and all that stuff.
And this is supposed to be the year that the Chiefs came back to the division.
Yeah, well,
and
they're running away.
And instead, it's the year where the gap between them and the other three franchises
we're
became
seeing that
even more apparent
on the coaching front, big time.
All in, we're catching KC this year. And the Chiefs have essentially wrapped up the division before Thanksgiving.
They have a guy who's in his second year coaching in the National Football League, a guy in his first and maybe last, we'll find out, year coaching, and a guy who's starting his third year but his first year at this job, and his other job was 10 years ago. It's just such a mismatch, it's not even funny.
I think another element to this goes back to Andy Reid, and that is his ability to coach his coaches. And I think a reason some of these young players are so good, Brett Veach deserves a ton of credit and the scouts and everybody deserve a ton of credit for drafting this, you know, or in Justin Reed's case, bringing in and all of that. But knowing that when you bring in a guy via free agency or the draft or what have you, he's going to be paired with a very skilled assistant coach, whether that be a coordinator, whether that be a position coach, because it's no secret that so many of Andy Reid's disciples go on to be not just head coaches, but in a lot of cases, successful head coaches. And I think it's because Reid knows how to coach his coaches as well as he can coach his players.
Yeah, I think that's a big factor of it, too, because he's always, you know, praising his coaches as well. Almost every time after a game, oh, you know, Joe does a good job here, or Tom did a good job
and all of his coaches, you know, Eric Bieniemy, everybody, you know, so and so, he does a great job.
Heck of a job.
Spags,
sometimes hell of a job. Sometimes heck of a
job.
Either way, it all works that way. But it was big win last night, and it wasn't easy. As I said, I mean, listen, that the way the Chargers went down the field in the first drive, you're like, this is not going to be easy. But then the defense at the end of the first half with the stop to force the field goal, and the first, like, whatever, three or four possessions of the second half, that defense was great. Absolutely great. And the offense is the offense, you know. They overcame that fumble.
Third team in NFL history to have 480 yards in four straight games.
That's all?
They've tied the NFL record. 84 Dolphins. Damn it. I guess I'll find a new end of the hour question.
Well, that's only one of them. We won't know the others. Don't worry about it. The end of the hour question is coming up. It's coming up. We'll take your
phone
calls.
I'll do it later when everyone's forgotten.
Here in the first hour, Sam McDowell's on the show at 3 o'clock. We'll talk to him. We've got the drill at 4 o'clock, and we will talk to Trent Green, who was at an absolute boar fest. He was at the Jets-Patriots game. But that was early enough in the day that Trent got to watch the Chiefs game, which was much more fun and much more thrilling because there wasn't a lot of greatness yesterday in the National Football League. Sometimes it's awesome, and sometimes, hey, they're just playing football games. And yesterday was a lot of, hey, they're playing football games.
Did you know that the three of us, or four of us, I guess, Curtis, Saran, Mark, and myself, caused the end of that Patriots-Jets game?
I was listening yesterday.
The decent conversation yesterday about on the Central Bank pregame show was about the lack of returns.
I'm going to ask Trent about that because I was listening, and I was like, I'm glad Curtis got that little stat out because you know what? There were two yesterday because there was the Falcons had one and the Patriots had one. So now all of a sudden there's a deluge of kick and punt returns for touchdowns. I was listening to the Central Bank pregame show and I was like, oh, wow. That is, there's only been one. And then all of a sudden they just started coming yesterday. They were going yesterday for sure. I knew this one. The Chiefs weren't going to get the one when Isaiah Pacheco caught the ball and walked out of bounds.
Good Lord.
That's a factor. But it didn't end up costing him.
No.
All right, we'll take your phone calls today. 913-3810-810. 913-3810-810. 3 o'clock, Sam McDowell. We've got the drill at 4. We have Trent Green at 5. We will talk World Cup right now. United States is up 1-0 over Wales in the 63rd minute.
1-0.
I'm going to say nothing or nil. Either way, 1-0. 1-0.
1-0.
1-0 over Wales. Nice pass from Christian Pulisic to Tim Weah, who's, you know, his dad is the president of Liberia. Okay.
I did not know that.
There you go. Google that one, Curtis.
I'll be darned.
How about that?
I know a trivia question about Liberia.
I would have guessed Bill Brasky was the president of
Monrovia.
Liberia.
You know how Monrovia got its name?
Because
Monroe, the president?
James Monroe.
Monroe.
It's the only foreign capital named after a U.S. president. Monrovia.
That's the capital of Liberia.
Monrovia.
Yeah. Yes. And Tom Bahali's from Liberia.
That's true.
There. And Tim Weah's dad's the president. And he scored a goal for America.
Now you know the rest of the story.
All of the stuff that you need to know.
Good day.
Yeah. 913-3810-810 is the number. We are set and ready to go for a fun Victory Monday here on the program. Welcome back into the program. I'm Todd Lebo in for Sorin Petro. We're having fun here today. Watching a little World Cup action, United States up 1-0 or 1-0 over Wales in Qatar or Qatar, however you want to say it. I don't know. Whatever. It's cool. I go either way
on that.
Whatever's
clever, Trevor.
And we will take your phone calls on the Chiefs or whatever you want to talk about. Missouri got a win Saturday. Kansas State is a one step away from making their first Big 12 title game since they reinstated the game. It's a wild game in Morgantown. A lot of points in the first half. Very disappointing Saturday afternoon for Kansas as Texas just kind of flexed their muscle on them offensively.
Which they can do. I mean,
they can. They're really, when they get to going downhill, that was pretty devastating first couple of drives.
Sorin likes to say styles make fights, and that's a perfect example in that what Texas is perfect at doing is exactly what Kansas is
not
struggles
good at.
With stopping this year.
And for all of the rightful credit and fanfare that Lance Leipold has gotten for what he's done on the offensive side of the ball.
That
pretty clear.
Still got some work to do.
They need some dudes.
Need some bodies.
Yeah.
They got to have some bodies. And then at the top in the old college football playoff, pretty wild stuff, man. Michigan down to the wire, Ohio State down to the wire, and TCU absolutely down to the wire with the ballsy play from Sonny Dykes to run the ball on 3rd and 7, just run that field goal unit out there. And that dude, he limped that baby over the goalpost, and it was good. That was really something for TCU. So they're in the title game, and we will see if Kansas State could be in the title game Friday if Texas loses to Baylor.
Yeah,
but if Texas beats Baylor, K-State will have to beat Kansas in the Sunflower Showdown Saturday night. So we got some little drama going there.
We've seen a line in that game yet?
I have not looked.
I'll check it
out. I'm guessing the Cats are favored by plenty.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, I guess. I don't know why, considering the team I cheer for and the teams I cover, but for whatever reason, the only line I've made it a point to look at so far this week was Michigan-Ohio State, which is 7.5 that the Buckeyes are laying.
Yeah, and Michigan's got some injury issues, too, so that may not be great. And it was a really fun crosstown rival, whatever they call the thing, the victory bell. The UCLA-USC game was really exciting, and USC will play Notre Dame on the road this week, and Notre Dame is obviously playing a lot better than they were early. USC would love to win that game and then win the Pac-12 title game and find themselves in that hunt for that college football playoff.
11.5.
11.5, Cats?
Missouri, a 3.5-point dog at home to Arkansas.
Boy, Arkansas is good Saturday.
I'd lay that, man.
Arkansas all over Ole Miss.
Yep. That's the problem I have with that game. I just don't know if Missouri can keep pace.
Yeah, we'll
Arkansas's
see.
Offense is clicking.
They're really good.
They can't stay with them.
That's a little college football. We'll talk more about that. Maybe with Sam McDowell at 3. As we'll talk a lot of Chiefs with him as well. And we will talk about whatever you'd like on the phones, 913-381-0810. And Jazzu Jay is up first. How you doing, Jay?
Hey, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. It's all week long, baby. Let's go.
Hey, that's right. That's right. Hey, I guess I'll say it. I didn't learn anything from last night's game or yesterday's NFL slate in general. Bills and Eagles are kind of flaky. Vegas and Denver are pathetic. Giants are frauds and so are the Jets. And no one even knows who's on bye last week because they're probably irrelevant teams come playoff time. And Mahomes and Kelce are still spectacular. And the game went virtually exactly how we all thought it would. The Chiefs won by a score. The Chargers are what they've been, a team that's been hyped up all preseason with a bunch of big names, all bark, no bite, only to probably miss the playoffs after being crowned by the national media, the preseason champions, the AFC West champions, and Herbert was even named a preseason MVP at one point, and people had them winning the AFC and Super Bowl. So congratulations, Chargers, you did it again. And I'm looking forward to next year in August when it happens again for about the 10th straight time, only for them to fall apart before Thanksgiving. But guys, I want to ask you a couple things. Last night there was something in the NFL that was consistent, and you know what it was? It was the officiating. Because that game was hard to watch at times based on what is a flag and what isn't. And so my question to you guys is two-parter. One, if you had to pick a group, like an official crew for the rest of the season that is fair, that you like, what crew would that be? Because I can't think of any. It is so inconsistent from week in to week out. Kelce was getting mauled all night. And then they call knick-knacky penalty. It was just bizarre. But
well, they got the call on Travis that they needed on the third down on the last drive. Yeah. At least they got it then. Yeah. But the call, the crackback block on Kadarius Toney, the way I understood that was you kind of had to be coming down the line of scrimmage. He went downfield like five yards on the block.
I
thought
that
was weak. And the hold on Creed Humphrey. Are you
must
kidding
have
me?
Happened on the other side of the field. We never got to see the opposite angle,
this.
But it sure didn't look like holding from
Tim Grunhard knows what holding is and isn't, and he was not happy on Twitter last night. I'm going to go with Grunny on that one. And how does a team honestly have a game where nothing gets called? I mean, zero. There should never be a game where there are no penalties called, okay?
Yeah, it was 4-0 happened in the first half, and the Chargers had got two in the opening.
And the Chiefs had a whole game with nothing last week.
Yeah.
That's wrong, too. But yeah, last night was pretty inconsistent and rough to watch.
The one area where I will
I don't have
a
clue of what crew is good though.
I'd pick Carl Cheffer's crew because then I can just bet the under the whole time and win.
But there were some DPI calls. I think a lot of Chiefs fans were wanting thrown, which I don't really think were, but they missed a handful of others, and I mean it's just an ongoing thing.
It seems like, and I don't know that the Chiefs are the only victims of this, and Chris Jones, I don't know that he's the only victim of this. I think this might just be a manifestation of rules going more to favor the offense. But man, seems like Chris Jones gets held a lot, and the offensive guy gets away with it.
Well, they didn't. I don't know if they got a hold called on him. I don't remember the charge. I was like, at some point they're going to call one on him.
Yeah.
But you're right, Jay. It's tough to watch sometimes, but they got to have officials. They have to do it, and it makes it difficult at times. That's it for sure. Thanks for the call, buddy. The Chargers, you're exactly right. Justin Herbert, I think he's really good, and I think he was an important draft pick for the Chargers. I think he was a franchise-changing pick for them because they were kind of on that little slide with between Phillip Rivers. They didn't really have anything. But you got to make the playoffs at some point. And if they go the way they're going here, they're not going to make the playoffs. And that will be 3 years where he basically started. He started the second week, his first year, the third week. Second week after they punctured Tyrod Taylor's line. So 3 years, you know, make the playoffs. They're adding playoff teams.
Yes.
So they better get on their horse.
Meanwhile, the Chiefs have two separate playoff quarterbacks. One is Patrick Mahomes without a 10-point deficit, and the other is Patrick Mahomes with a 10-point deficit.
Doesn't matter.
And it's, both playoff caliber teams.
Always.
And Herbert showed, again, as he often does, particularly when he plays the Chiefs, you saw four or five plays, you're like, oh, my God,
wow.
Look at that throw.
Wow.
Look at that move. That is incredible. It just isn't consistent enough. I mean, he makes some of the wild plays Mahomes does, but he also makes mistakes mm-hmm. that Mahomes does not make.
Right.
And which makes Patrick Mahomes just so freak show is that he makes as many crazy plays as he makes and almost never seems to make an error. And I mean, if Justin Herbert was as good as Patrick Mahomes, they wouldn't be 5-5.
They've had injuries. They always have injuries.
Sure.
But they played for a while without Keenan Allen or Mike Williams.
But they also go out and get guys who are
They got them both
hurt.
Back last night, and then Mike Williams got hurt again. Keenan Allen got a little bit hurt, but he played. He was on a snap count or whatever. But there are other guys. They're not as good as them. And the Chiefs, they just have built a roster. They have built a roster where their quarterback actually got hurt and missed a few games, and they won the Super Bowl. So they've had – because they've got enough good players that it's okay that Matt Moore has to play a couple games. I mean, they got away with that.
They played 2.5 games without their quarterback.
They played a playoff game without Patrick Mahomes. And survived that one in the second half when he got hurt against the Browns. They've been able to do those things, not just because of the quarterback position, but because they have done a really nice job drafting and coaching everyone all around. It's fun. It's just, and it's so weird for us. We're 5 years into this. It's still weird because it was not like that for so long.
No.
It's a lot of fun, though. All right, Kyle, you're up here on the program. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Real quick, there's 3 points I would like to make, and I said this last night, and I said this during the Jason Anderson show, is number one, should Justin Watson be the third wide receiver, take Mecole Hardman's spot? Number two is the refs. I could put a crew together, and I could call the games for free, and I could do a better job than those officials I saw on the field last night. And number three is the offensive line. I thought they played pretty well. There were times where Mahomes was getting hit pretty good. But other than that, there were times where he was holding the ball all day, too. So I'll listen off the air. Thank you for taking my
call. Thank you, Kyle. Backwards first here, I think the line had a pretty nice night last night. I mean, listen, you can't go and never get sacked. You drop back, you throw the ball, you're going to get hit a few times, you're going to get
early on, they
sacked
were.
Here there.
Somebody give us someone moving it in Mahomes' office spot
they
every
kind
play.
Of fixed it by running the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
They got the Chargers' defense a little bit out of rhythm, and it part of this is Isaiah Pacheco is their best running back, right? And they were able to kind of get things going in that direction, and I think that was important. So I think the line got better as they went.
Yeah.
Yeah, and listen, it's
here's where the pressure's coming from. How do
Willie
we run
Rofe
plays?
And John Tate and
right,
Will Shields
right.
and Brian Water. It's not that, okay? But this is a fine offensive line.
That will never happen again for any team in the NFL. But they also found a way to, okay, where is the pressure coming from? All right, they designed some schemes offensively that mitigated that to some extent. And that's also why, you know, it's not just the players, it's not just Andy Reid, it's the entire coaching staff and they make adjustments, and they've got the tools that once they make those adjustments, those tools can make those adjustments work.
And the refs. It's tough.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to deal with that. I don't think the Chiefs have a 1-2 or 3 or 4 or 5 wide receiver anyway. Justin Watson's been good.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know what? Mecole Hardman was having a pretty nice year.
Yeah.
He was good too.
Not catching the ball, but
and
he's
Juju Smith-Schuster was having a really nice year too,
yes.
And he got hurt. And Sky Moore popped up last night. They're going to do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
So I don't care who the number 1, 2, or 3, or 4 wide receiver is, and they don't care either.
Yeah, we saw last night what Sky Moore does well. I mean, he was kind of pressed into that job, and he succeeded at it.
Yeah,
and so I think last night, and in the end, will probably be that's going to maybe push him a little further up the depth chart. And I think it's going to make this offense a little bit better. And in the end, what time they get around the playoff time, they're going to be a better offense because they had to go through what they went through this week with injuries at that spot.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break here, and right now we're angry because Wales is going to get to kick a penalty in the 82nd minute. You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back into the program. I'm Todd Lebo in for Seren Petro, and you never know what's going to happen on a beautiful Victory Monday. And we got a special guest on the horn right now. Chris Jones, all-world defensive tackle, is joining us now on the show, and you're out there doing some good today in the community, Chris, passing turkeys out, loading turkeys up. Tell me what you're doing today, buddy.
Oh, man, on a beautiful day like today, I'm passing out 200 turkeys to those fortunate enough to be in attendance, partner with Kansas City Joe's and Chris Light Company to put me in the position and be fortunate enough to do this.
How you doing? Happy early Thanksgiving. I hope you're having an amazing day.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing, my man? You doing all right?
Yeah.
You got a beautiful family, by the way.
Hey, Chris. Chris.
Talk to me.
Hey, man.
I'm sorry. I'm handing out turkeys.
Listen, I know. How much fun is this to see these families come down there and pass these turkeys out with – I mean, it's just got to make your heart full at this time of year.
Yeah, man. You know, I have a minor in communication, so I love to talk anyway. So just give me a reason to talk to people, interact. You know, a lot of these are soulful people. Full of excitement. And, you know, me, I'm here – I'm full of excitement, so the conversation get elongated, the lines get a little longer, unfortunately. Everybody try to make me keep the line moving, but sometimes you get caught within the moment having good conversations, you know. For me, it's all out of love and all out of fun, you know. Thanksgiving, it's all about giving back, especially in my position. It's about giving back and being a pivotal part to this community.
Yeah, and this is your Sac Nation Foundation, right, in the KC Dream Center in Joe's KC. It's cool when all these things come together and can get this done. Let's talk a little football. How much fun was that last night? I know sometimes you'd like to have it be a little easier, but that had to have been thrilling last night to win again against the Chargers on the road.
Yeah, man. You know, those division games are always tough. It's never easy in any division. But we was able to pull a nail biter off, you know. Gabe had the ball back with a minute and 46 seconds. You know, we've seen what he's done with 13 seconds. So you give him that much time, then, you know, something entertaining can happen. And Kelsey was able to punch it in, and defensively was able to get off the field. So games like that, we got a young team. We continue to build character and chemistry throughout the year. We've been battle tested amongst the year. You know, we'll continue to strive. You know, I don't think we've hit our peak yet as a playing a complete game on offense, defense, and special teams. But I feel like when needed upon, we've answered a call in a lot of big, tight games. So we're going to continue to strive and watch this film, see what we can get better at, and get ready to face the Los Angeles Rams.
Chris Jones is our guest. He's passing out turkeys with the KC Dream Center right now in Sac Nation and Joe's KC. I was very impressed with the first play of the Chargers last drive. They had 31 seconds. It looked like Justin Herbert was trying to get sneaky and run a little QB draw, and you sniffed that thing out. Take me through that play.
Well, it was too high, which means two safeties in the middle was too high. Everywhere else is man-to-man. So I knew there was a running lane for the quarterback. So me knowing that, I know that there got to be a cage rush. If anybody get out of the gaps, then it can open up a lane for the quarterback to run. And in that type of situation, everybody man-to-man, the DB's backs are turned, and the safeties are 20 to 30 yards back, then as D-line, we got to take care of that. So me knowing that, I'm getting a one-on-one, I can't rush high, and I can't just come under because that'll open up a big out. So I'm going to push the pocket, and when I see him commit, it was more so of a bait game. When I see him commit, I'm able to arm over and get the tackle, and that's what happened.
And that was a big play because that kind of got them off kilter to start the drive. And the next play, you guys got the pick. And, you know, I mean, Deion Bush is out there. He hadn't hardly played. What is it about your team where guys just step up and make plays?
I mean, that's been the thing with us all year. I mean, we have a lot of young guys who's playing in positions and who's playing roles that we've asked to fill. You look at the first 3 weeks, Rashad Finn went down Trent McDuffie went down. We had to ask a couple rookies to step up in that position to be a starter first time in this league, and we put a lot on their plate. And a lot of guys have answered that call. We move Nick Bolton up to the starting role as a middle linebacker to call our plays and make the adjustments on this defense, and he has answered that call. And so far, these guys have done a tremendous job of answering that call and stepping up when needed.
It's been great to see. I know you're busy out there passing these turkeys out, so I'm going to go ahead and get to our final four right now. This is four real quick questions, quick answers, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. All right, number one, Chris, what's your order at Joe's KC? What do you eat there? What do you like the most?
Okay, my first favorite is Kansas City Joe's. I love my barbecue. My second favorite is... Bamboo Pennies. My third is Eddie V's. They're very consistent. I love Eddie V's. And my fourth is probably my fourth. Oh, that's a hard one. I don't really eat that many places. Probably a home cooked meal.
All right. How about this? What's your favorite Thanksgiving side? You're having a big Thanksgiving dinner. You got the turkey or whatever. What's your favorite side to eat?
Okay, I'm a big boy, right? So
yeah.
I put mac and cheese and put them in a sweet potato casserole and make like a sweet potato mac and cheese casserole. And oh my God, that's a burst of flavors. It's like getting the ultra burst of the pink starburst. It's like melting. Oh my God, those flavors that comes out of that mac and cheese and that sweet potato casserole is unforgiving.
All right, who's your favorite quarterback to sack in the NFL right now?
Favorite quarterback is probably Tom Brady. He gets the ball off so fast. So to be able to get to him, it's like you got to go through so much. You got to go through your DBs, got to be on point. He got to actually hold the ball because Tom Brady is a rhythmic thrower. So everything is rhythmic and timing with Tom Brady.
All right, and finally, who's going to win this Egg Bowl this week?
Hell State, baby. You know it.
All right. You got your cowbell out. I know you're ready to go for that one. Hey, thanks so much for going down there and passing these turkeys out with Joe's and with Sac Nation. It's really cool that you're out there getting it done the day after you guys got back late, man. Appreciate it, man. We'll see you out there in the locker room this week, okay?
All right, my guy. You take care.
All right. That's Chris Jones, all-pro defensive tackle for the Chiefs out there doing good, man. Doing good stuff out there with Joe's KC and Sac Nation and the KC Dream Center, passing out like turkeys to feed 200 families. That's pretty cool.
As much talk as there has been, rightly, about Patrick Mahomes being the MVP favorite, at some point someone needs to start. This was out there on Twitter last night. I'm not the first person to arrive at this. Defensive player of the year.
Oh, he's playing great.
I mean, Chris Jones is playing a level of football that even he hadn't played before, and
it's the stats,
borderline
and
Hall
of Famer. Little ancillary stats that the people like. He's getting there on all of them.
Absolutely.
My favorite part, by the way, of that interview is when he's starting to chat with that family there. You wonder. I wonder this a lot with you know, when kids are involved with these things. You heard there sounded like there was a little kid in the car that he was handing out the turkey to. I really wonder if that kid. I don't know how old the kid was, or if they're a Chiefs fan, or. Do they even know like what a big deal that
this
he's
guy
just,
is?
He's just the nice guy. He handed us a turkey. Yeah. Like I think that's awesome.
Yeah, Chris is a good dude, and I know that Frank Clark had a turkey giveaway last week too. This is that time of year where a lot of these guys are out there doing these things. They really do, and I think Chris has done a really nice job in this community because he's been doing stuff for the whole time he's been here, and he's just got a great personality, and it's crazy because he's so fun.
You wonder why he didn't have any more
and then,
have more endorsements,
and then you. You see him on the field. He's not that fun. He's not that nice.
No,
he will get after you, but man, he smiles.
Will Shields.
And,
Shields would flip
just
the
click
switch,
it, man.
And it is seek and destroy.
Yeah, if you're out there getting these turkeys today, you'll see how big Chris Jones is. And if you see him like with the football pads on and all this stuff, he's a big guy. This dude is one of the biggest humans you'll see walking around, and he's so quick and fast with everything he does on the defensive side of the ball because you have to be able to do that. He's an incredible player, and he's been a real asset to the community, so it's good to see.
Yep.
Glad to see him doing that. Glad he took the time. Thanks to Joe's KC for helping us set that up. It's pretty cool. Passing those turkeys out, having a good time. And I don't think he put pink Starburst in there, but that's just the way to
that was
say
his metaphor.
The metaphor that the flavor of the sweet potatoes and the macaroni coming together is that's how that
so
goes.
So lucky to have that guy in, in this town.
Yeah. Especially playing for that defense.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, that play last night, he was ready for that.
Oh, my gosh.
Because Patrick had run and stolen 15, 18 yards the possession before, and the Chargers were like, oh, we can do that. But Chris knew the defense they were in. He saw, he identified, he saw what they were trying to do, and he sniffed it out. That killed the drive.
And that, was, that wasn't just being on the right. The strength, the reach out with that arm.
Justin
one
Herbert's
arm, essentially,
a big dude.
And pull a 6'6", 240-pound guy to the ground right there was impressive.
Great stuff. Great stuff. That's Chris Jones. Thanks so much for calling in. We got Sam McDowell coming up next from the Kansas City Stars. The program rolls on a Monday.
Player to have a punt return touchdown in the final 2 minutes or overtime. Name any of the others. Brought to you by Good Sense.